Why I did not send the arrow, I cannot say. I stood on the rock with the bow pulled back, and my hand would not let it go. The big dog lay there and did not move, and this may be the reason. If he had gotten up, I would have killed him. I stood there for a long time looking down at him, and then I climbed off the rocks. He did not move when I went up to him, nor could I see him breathing until I was very close. The head of the arrow was in his chest, and the broken shaft was covered with blood. The thick fur around his neck was matted from the rain. I do not think that he knew I was picking him up, for his body was limp, as if he were dead. He was very heavy, and the only way I could lift him was by kneeling and putting his legs around my shoulders. In this manner, stopping to rest when I was tired, I carried him to the headland. I could not get through the opening under the fence, so I cut the bindings and lifted out two of the whale ribs and thus took him into the house. He did not look at me or raise his head when I laid him on the floor, but his mouth was open and he was breathing. The arrow had a small point, which was fortunate, and came out easily, though it had gone deep. He did not move while I did this, nor afterwards as I cleaned the wound with a peeled stick from a coral bush. This bush has poisonous berries, yet its wood often heals wounds that nothing else will. I had not gathered food for many days, and the baskets were empty, so I left water for the dog, and after mending the fence, went down to the sea. I had no thought that he would live, and I did not care. All day I was among the rocks gathering shellfish, and only once did I think of the wounded dog, my enemy, lying there in the house, and then to wonder why I had not killed him. He was still alive when I got back, though he had not moved from the place where I had left him. Again, I cleaned the wound with a coral twig. I then lifted his head and put water in his mouth, which he swallowed. This was the first time that he had looked at me since the time I had found him on the trail. His eyes were sunken, and they looked out at me from far back in his head. Before I went to sleep, I gave him more water. In the morning, I left food for him when I went down to the sea, and when I came home, he had eaten it. He was lying in the corner, watching me. While I made a fire and cooked my supper, he watched me. His yellow eyes followed me wherever I moved. That night I slept on the rock, for I was afraid of him, and at dawn as I went out, I left the hole under the fence open so he could go. But he was there when I got back, lying in the sun with his head on his paws. I had speared two fish, which I cooked for my supper. Since he was very thin, I gave him one of them, and after he had eaten it, he came over and lay down by the fire, watching me with his yellow eyes that were very narrow and slanted up at the corners. 4 nights I slept on the rock, and every morning I left the hole under the fence open so he could leave. Each day I speared a fish for him, and when I got home, he was always at the fence waiting for it. He would not take the fish from me, so I had to put it on the ground. Once I held out my hand to him, but at this he backed away and showed his teeth. On the 4th day, when I came back from the rocks early, he was not there at the fence waiting. A strange feeling came over me. Always before, when I returned, I had hoped that he would be gone. But now, as I crawled under the fence, I did not feel the same. I called out, "Dog, dog," for I had no other name for him. I ran toward the house, calling it. He was inside. He was just getting to his feet, stretching himself and yawning. He looked first at the fish I carried and then at me and moved his tail. That night I stayed in the house. Before I fell asleep, I thought of a name for him, for I could not call him Dog. The name I thought of was Rontu, which means in our language, Fox Eyes.